everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful pygmy slow loris. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Diego, Aaron and Ella, Clementina, Emily Herzberger, and Meredith. Thank you so much for taking the time to write into the show, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you would like to help support the show, including its mission to help you relax with animal facts, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can get completely ad and intro free episodes, including an exclusive episode every week. That is 3 episodes a week of Relax with Animal Facts on Patreon. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance in today's episode. All of his stuff is linked in the description, and I think that you should check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If it is your first time listening, I would like to welcome you to the Animal Podcast family with open arms. This is a family that extends across continents and countries, and it is a great privilege to be able to meet with all of you to go on our adventures together. If you are a returning listener, you know exactly what I'm going to be asking of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of sturdy boots. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement to you is arguably the most important. It is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension and to do your best to let go. That tension might be in the neck, in the shoulders, in the head. Regardless of where you carry tension, my exhortation to you is the same. Bring up in your mind a flavor or color of Jell-O that you like, and just do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. If you don't know where you carry tension, which is entirely possible, you can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and just scan all the way up to the top of the head. As you scan, relax as you go. That would mean relaxing first the feet, then the ankles, then the calves, and so on and so on. My third and final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a Vietnamese forest where the pygmy slow loris resides. I believe we have been here before. Forests in Asia can be some of the most amazing places in the world. The soundscape itself is just breathtaking, but we are not only here to admire the environment around us, but to admire one very special member of it, which is the pygmy slow loris. I think for pragmatic purposes, I will just say pygmy sometimes, other times slow loris. Their name is quite the mouthful and takes me a while just to say, so keep that in mind. Pygmy slow loris is their common name. Their scientific name is Xanthonictocebus pygmaeus. Oh boy, if you haven't heard Greek and Latin before, it is all in here. Their scientific name is a combination of four Greek and Latin words, two Greek and two Latin. In the former part of their name, xantho, it derives from the Greek word xanthos, which means yellow. The root word nycte comes from nyctos, meaning nighttime. The last part of xantho nyctichebus is that kebus part. That is actually a Latin word. It seems to have been adapted here to fit within the primate taxonomy, but in this context, it does not directly translate to anything. It is primarily associated with a genus of capuchin monkeys. The latter portion of their scientific name, Pygmaeus, comes from the Latin word pygmaeus, which means pygmy or dwarf. This, of course, is calling to their smaller size. So all of these roots, when taken as a collective, suggest a small, nocturnal primate with yellow coloring. And boy, oh boy, have we run into one of those. Lorises, Galagos, and Potos are all members of the Lorisidae family, which has 9 genera and over 25 species in total. They are found in Africa, south of the Sahara, southern India, Sri Lanka, southeastern Asia, and the East Indies. And so while we are in this very special environment, to see this creature, we could have been in a couple of different places. Lorises in general will either have a very short tail or no tail at all, round heads and eyes, and small ears that are almost completely buried by their fur. They have about equal length forelimbs and hind limbs, and if I can say, they have a very remarkable appearance. Not something I've ever seen before. Certainly not with my own eyes here in Canada. But what all lorises share in common is that they have exceptionally strong fingers and toes, which will come in handy as we will shortly find out. They can maintain a hard grasp with their hands or feet for extremely extended periods of time. This all points to the fact that they are arboreal, which means they spend the vast majority of their time in trees. They are also nocturnal, meaning they spend the majority of their daytime sleeping in, and the majority of their nighttime doing their hunting and other sorts of activities. When they do sleep during the day, they will typically be found in hollowed out trees, crevices, or branches. They can snooze in a bunch of different places, but usually they will sleep curled up in a ball, with their heads tucked behind their arms. And owing to their name, Slow Loris, when they move, they use slow, methodical, well-thought-out hand-over-hand movements, moving as effortlessly under a branch as above it. There are times when they will move a bit quicker, but those are only when they are disturbed, and they will rarely jump or leap. It is important to say relatively early that what we know about the pygmy slow loris is not as much as we should know. One thing that I think should be said as early as possible is that what we know about the pygmy slow loris is relatively little. Many researchers think there is a lot more to learn about them, but we will cover the breadth of it today together. So the main reason they move as they do is that it gives them a kind of camouflage. Instead of being able to run super fast when you get spotted by a predator, why not just not get spotted at all? They avoid predation mainly just by staying still or by moving super slowly. With leaves and branches swaying with the wind, they have an uncanny ability to disappear into the trees by doing precisely nothing. They avoid predators as well by only coming out at night, but that does not rule out every single predator, mainly those ones which are nocturnal as well. This arboreal species is omnivorous, meaning they eat both animal and plant material. The main thing that gives the pygmy slow loris an advantage over other simian competition is that they are the only known venomous primate. This is a fairly rare trait among mammals, but among primates, it is unheard of. When was the last time you saw a venomous chimpanzee, a gorilla, an orangutan, a bonobo, a capuchin, or a gibbon that has the ability to deliver venom? They have a fluid from glands inside of their elbows that, when combined with their saliva, venomizes their bite. It can be used both offensively and defensively. In the offensive sense, they can of course bite to venomize their victims, but in a defensive sense, female lorises have been seen to occasionally park their young while they're feeding, preparing for them that deadly elixir of venom and licking the little one's fur to prevent predators. What a phenomenal and unique, maybe some would say bizarre, trait for a primate to have. And of course, because they spend a lot of time out at night, they have to have some pretty strong eyes to be able to see. It might actually be the first thing you notice about this creature. Their eyes are large and round, and really do tell a story. Their eyes are forward-facing and absolutely packed to the brim with retinal rods, allowing it to see depth even in the dim forests. They have a reflective layer of tissue called a tapetum lucidum, which is located behind the retina that you may recognize as eye shine, but it is there specifically to help with night vision. So if you see any kind of eye shine, or maybe even smell a strong odor, it could be the pygmy slow loris. That strong odor, by the way, is that venomous substance that they use to mix with their saliva and deliver venomous bites. The pygmy forages and eats similarly to its larger relative, the slow loris. They can also move a bit faster than them as well, and the individuals will opt to forage alone, being mostly solitary creatures. Even mothers park their infants somewhere in a safe location rather than carrying them around everywhere when they go out to eat. These animals are opportunistic feeders. They eat a wide range of plant and animal material, particularly enjoying soft fruits and gums, but they will also happily eat sensitive shoots and other plant components. They have even been documented to pierce tree branches in an effort to encourage the flow of edible sap and gums. You might also see them lick leaves once in a while. That is not because they actually eat them, they are just licking them for moisture. The pygmy's diet also contains a significant quantity of animal protein, sometimes up to 33% or a third of their total diet. They are experts at catching insects and often capture those with a strong odor. Due to the fact that they not only have strong eyesight, they have a great sense of smell. If an unfortunate insect passes by, the slow loris can quickly grab it out of the air with both hands. That strong odor that we smell is a method of communication. It can tell other species, it can tell its own species, maybe other males, to stay away. But they can also verbalize that desire through snarls and hisses. Their final mode of communication is to bite, which for predators could mean incapacitation, and in humans, sometimes anaphylactic shock. That is to say that this venom is not weak. They may look small, but their bite delivers quite the punch. The reproduction of the pygmy slow loris is similar to the slow loris. Mothers give birth to young about every 12 to 18 months, which is a long time considering their size. They will typically have small litters of 1 to 2 individuals, and twinning is common. The children will cling to their mother's tummies when they are first born, but mothers will frequently park their children on a suitable limb, or in the case of hunting or feeding, they will park them somewhere safe. Infants are soon able to move small distances on their own on branches after being parked. After about 9 months of age for females and 18 to 20 months for males, they can start to have kids of their own. And when we say that these critters are small, we are talking about 15 ounces in mass and about 6 to 10 inches in length. They weigh about as much as a football, or as I should say, an American soccer ball. Now, let us go on to the name of the animal. Pygmy. What does it mean and where does it come from? We are also going to talk about where the loris comes from too. We have used this word since the late 14th century. It was generally used to describe a member of a fabulous race of dwarfs. Individuals described by both Homer and Herodotus and said to inhabit Egypt or Ethiopia and India. Homer and Herodotus, both Greek individuals, but separated by many hundreds of years. In an etymological sense, it means of the length of a pygmy. So individuals would say a pygmy tall. And this comes from the Greek word pygmy, meaning a cubit, literally a fist. A cubit is the measure of length from the elbow to the knuckle, equal to about 18 fingers or 13.5 inches. So the history of the word pygmy is pretty cool. The word loris, on the other hand, is short and sweet. We have been using it since 1774 from French loris, which means buffon, and it is of an unknown origin. It is sometimes said to be from obsolete Dutch loris, which means clown. This one is not as clear-cut, but on this show, we never shy away from giving a little shrug of our shoulders. Now, this is a bit of an interesting episode because it is the first week we are doing 2 episodes a week. I don't actually have any Q&As for this one, so we will have to postpone that just 1 week. Also, the dad jokes that I could find online were so bad that I wanted to spare both you and myself. I tried even creating some of my own through ChatGPT. I suppose that is not really my own, but you know what I mean. And I could not, with any good conscience, say them out loud. I think that this is the first episode in which that has happened. Maybe you guys have a pygmy slow loris. That is not awful. I would love to hear it. But today, we are going to have to move on to the Apple Podcasts review. This one was written by Angum, who wrote all the way from the United States of America. Angum wrote, "This podcast has definitely helped me with so many things, from feeding my interests to calming me down on a rough day. Mr. Wolf's voice is so soothing, which allows listeners to calm down so much easier. There are so many episodes and so many animals to listen about. When I wake up in the middle of the night and hear episodes still playing, I fall asleep right away. I want to thank Mr. Wolf because he has helped me so much, and having a new episode posted instantly makes my day. I do have a request for an animal. I would love if you could do an episode on vaquitas. I don't know much about them, and I would love to learn about it from this podcast. I do know they are endangered, and having an episode on the podcast can help bring awareness to the subject. Thank you, Stefan, for this wonderful podcast. Thank you, Angum, for the abundance of kind words. I'm so glad that the show can help you in any way, and that it has helped you as it has. Vaquitas are also a great suggestion, and if you don't mind, Angum, could you also send it through the website as well? That is basically the best way I have of tracking your animal requests. If the show helps you at all, leaving a review like Angum did can be one of the biggest ways to give back to the show. It can take a moment, and it can make all the difference. If you would like to request an animal for a future episode, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the Submit and Animal Request tab. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can go to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and send a message there. For more Relax with Animal Facts, including ad-free episodes, intro-free episodes, and one exclusive episode a week on a variety of topics, all of which include animals, of course, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click on the link in the description. A huge shout out to George Flad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I think that you should check him out. All of the facts in this episode came from nationalzoo.si.edu, lemur.duke.edu, animals.sandiegozoo.org, and etimonline.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The pygmy slow loris is one of those creatures that just has you scratching your head. A venomous primate. What in the world is going on? It makes me wonder what is in the world that has yet to be discovered. Maybe there are some creatures in the deep blue sea who have characteristics we couldn't even dream of. Our world is a wonderful place, and I am so grateful that you have taken the time to join me in learning more about it. And so, in that spirit, I look forward to learning more together on the next episode with the next animal. Take care.